Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's make a confession over our Bibles this morning. Ready to receive? Praise God, praise God. All set? Say,
this is my Bible.
It's God's word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Be excited. Praise you, Lord. See if you can find the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Book of Wisdom. Jesus has made unto us wisdom. Praise God. Proverbs 18, verse 10. If you underline in your Bible, you may find it's already underlined. Praise God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now, you know, there was a time when we didn't know that we were righteous. So that would be good for somebody, but probably not us. But now we've discovered that through Jesus we are righteous with his righteousness, and so we can run to this tower. The word tower has the idea of a towering platform. Some of the movies you've seen, you know, when the knights would storm the castle and all this stuff, and they were up there and shooting down with their bows, and they were inaccessible. In fact, let's see, the Amplified Bible says, high above evil and strong tower. And it means inaccessibly high and too high for capture when we run to that place. And you know, it says run. It said, you know, don't sit around and think about it for a while. There's a time for meditation, but this isn't the thing we meditate on. Should I go to God or not? No, let's go to God. Let's run to the tower. And it says his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So that's what I want to focus on this morning is the names of God. And, you know, we could spend weeks, and I have in the past spent weeks, but I kind of want to highlight some things because this is a form of meditation like Diane was sharing where we go to him and we recognize who he is and we come to that, when we have a need in a specific area, we come to that name. And as we're meditating on that name, we receive strength. We receive what it is that we need. Today, it's not as prevalent, I suppose, that you know people know what their names, what names mean. But in Bible times, it was a big deal. And God was revealing his, I think Diane used the word attributes, through his name. The name Wayne means wagon maker. I don't know how that helps at all. I don't think I've ever built a wagon in my life. But the names of God have great significance. In another scripture, Daniel chapter 11, book of Daniel's, a few books farther on after Proverbs, chapter 11. Daniel was taken into captivity, but he served his God, and God took good care of him, even in a lion's den and those kind of things. And he's writing about, in verse 32, he's writing about an army that was coming against them, and kind of in a sense putting people in two different categories. So he says, first of all, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. Now this is the king, that's not God wouldn't do that. This is the king coming against them, this ruler coming against them will corrupt. And if they're doing wickedly, they're going to be corrupted by that. You know, when you're not living straight, you fall for things that you wouldn't fall for otherwise. But then we read on, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Amen. And part of the way that we know our God is to know his name, to know his names, to know who he is, because he's revealing himself to us that way. The word know has the thought in it with by experience. To know by experience, to know because we've been spending time with him and so we know him. It's one thing to know about a person that, you know, you might recognize, he's talking about the news, you might recognize and see a person's picture on the news and say, well, I know who that person is, but we don't really know them in an experiential sense. But we should, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't know God. Even though they're Christians, they don't know God in an experiential sense. But this is why we worship. This is why we meditate. This is why we read the Word. This is why we don't get saved and then just, you know, live our life the way we always did. We're not trying to earn anything from God. We're trying to experience Him. God wants us to experience Him and to thereby to know more about Him and be able to live life on the plane that Jesus was talking about when He said, thieves come not but you steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and more abundantly. So we're not experiencing that enough, probably because we're not experiencing God enough, but we're going to learn to. We're learning to. We're making progress, I believe, in these things. So the first name that I want to get you to think about is Elohim. And I think they're going to put some of these up for me. So because I, you know, we don't use these as much in everyday life, but this is a good place to begin because this is the first name of God that we run into in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. And it just means might and power, powerful, the creator. So, you know, and it reminds us that whatever we're facing in life, and let's be honest, whatever we're facing seems like a big problem. Small problems are what other people have. What I'm going through is a big problem. But whatever we're going through, God is bigger than that problem. Amen. Elohim Amen. Is bigger than that problem. Everybody say Elohim. Elohim, praise God, is bigger than that problem. Amen. God, the Creator God, is bigger than that problem. And I'm going to use the word Jehovah a lot, and it's also Jehovah, Yahweh, same word in the original language. And it means the God who loves to reveal Himself, to reveal His very essence and personality to His people, Jehovah. God is not trying to hide Himself from us. He's trying to reveal Himself to us. If there's any hiding, it's hiding for us, not from us. There's a difference, amen? And that's what God wants to do for us. Now, let's go to Psalm 91. Another familiar scripture. You're going to see a lot of familiar scripture this morning. But what we're saying that we need to do is we're facing a problem and we meditate on who God is in being a specific answer to that problem. Amen. Amen. It's something that we can do to get over the hump, to encourage ourselves to press on through in difficult times. Amen. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's El Elyon, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. It says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The God who is the all-sufficient one. The God who is more than enough. Not just enough. More than enough. So, when I'm facing something in life and it looks like I'm going to come up short, the finances are going to come up short, something's going to come up short, God more than makes up the difference because He is El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Now, here's where it comes together. I can think about the shortage. I can meditate on the shortage. Diane did a good job of reminding us that we're meditating all the time. Amen. I can meditate on the lack. I can meditate on the missing elements, or I can meditate on El Shaddai, who's more than enough. Amen. So somewhere in the midst of all this, there's more than enough. There's a way to not just cope with life, but to conquer in life, to win. Praise God, which is what God intended for us all along. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 14. We have another name we need to consider. I was just mentioning Elyon, the Most High God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Genesis 14, verse 18. But you got that? Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. God Most High. El Elyon. Everybody say El Elyon. See, I know that we don't talk this way all the time, but there's something about that, the name itself, that's majestic, don't you think? Just El Elyon, Elohim, El Shaddai, praise God. Just, I don't know if we'll scare anybody else away, but it should build us up a little bit anyway. Now, Melchizedek may have been an actual manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. Don't know for sure, but it's very possible. And so he brought up bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, God Most High, El Elyon. And what's happening here is Abraham had lost Lot, and so he sent, listen, I mean, when I think about this, just almost bigger than my mind can gather around, is he got his own guys together and went out and defeated five armies because he knew El Elyon, God Most High, praise God, and he defeated them, and he's bringing back the spoils, and he meets this manifestation, this possible manifestation of Jesus. Read on, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, El Elyon. Boy, I'd like to be known as that. Abram of El Elyon, Wayne of El Elyon. Put yourself in that place. Because that's really, God has said, you know, you can use my name. You can be part of me, and I'll be part of you. When you think about it that way, you know, I'm the oldest in my family. My sister is just younger than me, and then my brother came along. I forgive him for that. But I like to tease him, but he was smaller, obviously. But he was always getting into tussles and everything because Big Brother was around all the time, which he didn't know that I didn't want to fight with anybody or anything. I wasn't going to get anybody a hard time anyway, but I was big enough that most of the time it was a deterrent in itself. But, you know, that's nothing compared to El Elyon, who is there with us wherever we go. So you have to go to court or you have to face some difficult problem, and you wish you had somebody on your side. Not only do you have somebody on your side, you got somebody in you, El Elyon, God Most High. All right. God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed God, and blessed be God Most High, El Elyon, who has defeated your enemies into your hand. Excuse me, delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord Most High, El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and I will not take anything from that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Because Abram knew El Elyon. So he didn't need anybody else to do it. Except for what the young man, the portions of the young men and so on, as he said there. So, no ruler, no government. Diane was saying, don't have to worry about the news and things like that. Whatever's going on. Instinct things are going on this week and so on. Don't have to worry about it. Because El Elyon is on our side. So he's bigger than the president, or he's bigger than the leader of Russia, or leader of Syria, or the leader of anybody else, or all the world governments put together. El Elyon, praise God, is on our side and living in us. All right, Genesis chapter 22. We want to talk about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, the one who looks ahead and provides. Diane, are you going to read some of this for me? New King James, yeah. Starting in verse 1.
Genesis 22, verse 1.
Genesis 22, verse 1, okay. Yep.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
Can I just stop in there and say, when it says tested, God was not testing him in the sense of sending temptations, tests, and trials. He was proving him, because you can see Abraham had no problem with this at all.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.
Now, can I say, you might want to underline those last few words there in verse 5? Because he said, we're going. And he didn't say, I'm coming back. He said, we're coming back. Amen. Knowing what he's supposed to do, he's saying, we're coming back. So obviously, this was not a problem for Abraham. Amen? He knew that God was able. Praise God. All right, let's read on.
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.
There's something else to underline. God will provide for himself. Or you could read it this way. God will provide himself. Think about that. God will provide himself. Because on this same mountain, many years later, there's going to be three crosses. And the Son of God is going to be the sacrifice for us all. And that took care of everything. Amen? All right, we read on.
So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
You see how much he's ready to just do what God's told him to do. He's not hesitating at all. He's just ready to do what God's doing. I mean, it says in the Bible and other places, he was convinced that if he killed his son, God was going to raise him back up. Because it started out saying, Isaac, this isn't Ishmael. Isaac, the son of promise, why don't you take him out there? And he's proving to himself, and he's really proving to Israel, it works, praise God. All right, we read on.
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.
The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now, an important aspect of this is this. The ram was already there. Come on, think about this. Before they got there, the ram was already there. When we're living life and we enter into a problem phase, the answer's already there. Jehovah Jireh's already been there and provided an answer for us. So again, you know, you can think about what in the world am I going to do now? Or you could think Jehovah Jireh. He's already been here. He's been ahead of me. There's provision here somewhere. And I'll find it by the Holy Spirit, praise God, because God takes good care of me. Now, I wouldn't think that any of you here would have to think too much of how you have enjoyed the presence of Jehovah Jireh over the years. My goodness, I was just meditating on this a little bit this week. It starts from birth and on. Sometimes more in spite of ourselves, it seems like, than because of ourselves, that Jehovah Jireh has been there and taking care of us. We went to, and I've shared this many times with you before, but in 78, we went to Oklahoma to go to Raymond. We went out there without knowing who we were going to live, where we were going to live, without knowing where I was going to work, without knowing where the money was going to come from to pay for Rhema and any of those things. And God went ahead of us and took care of each one of those things as the time came up. And one of the things that always stands out with me in my mind, we came to the end of the first month at Rhema, and the first payment was due. I had put somebody gave me the $300 down to get started. So it came to the end of the first month, and I didn't have whatever it was to pay. And so I went in and was very honest with the registrar and said, I'm sorry, I don't, hopefully you can work something out because I just don't have it. So she said, well, let me check your paperwork. And she went and checked the paperwork, and she said, somebody paid off your bill. It's already been paid. It's all not just this month. The whole year has already been paid. I still don't know who. I can make some guesses, but I know where it came from. Jehovah Jireh takes good care of us. He sent me there. He went ahead of me. He provided. We found a place to live. I found a job. We got behind financially, but he caught us up before we left there. We came up here. Somebody helped us find an apartment. Somebody paid the first month in the security payment for the apartment. If we needed a lamp, somebody had a lamp. You know, just one thing right after another. I had no job, and we bought a new car. Figure that one out. Even the huge isn't going to do that for you these days. Think of the commercials. Okay. But there's all this that's already happened in our lives. I mean, I think we could get you up here, and we'd have a testimony from now till the cows come home of testimonies where you can look back and say, boy, it wasn't looking good, but there was Jehovah Jireh. And certainly I can look back to December and January of this year and say, I didn't see that one coming, but Jehovah Jireh did, and he took good care of me, and here I am. Praise God. I was just reading on Facebook, some of you remember Pat Murphy, and he had a heart attack that he didn't even know he had, some symptoms and so on. And he was sharing that, you know, the Lord's gotten him through, put in some stents, they got the blood flowing again, and everything's working well because Jehovah Jireh was out in front taking care. You have a problem, God's already been there, there's provision. That's what we need to meditate on. And I am preaching to Wayne too here because Wayne goes down the wrong road on some of these times too. You be quiet. I'm going to get my hand under there. I'm good. That's good. Okay. Are you meditating on Jehovah Jireh? Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. See, you don't have to know the original language, but you do need to know that God. Praise God. All right, let's go to Judges chapter 6. Diane preached on this not that long ago. Get Diane to read starting verse 21. Judges, chapter 6, verse 21.
Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face."
Their sense back then was if they saw him, they're going to die. Praise God, we have a better revelation of God in the New Testament. Amen? Good.
Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. For Gideon built an altar there. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites." Yeah, you didn't tell me I had to read these words. Okay.
That's good. Then you stop there. The Glenvilleites, we'll call them.
Right.
We'll make up our own name as we go. The Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. Even before Doreen was using that name, God was there, Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. God is our peace. It's not talking about a peace that's on the outside. It's talking about a peace that's on the inside. All we're hearing about on the outside might be war, rumors of wars, and all those kind of things. The people around you might be in conflict. You might be at work one day and conflict everywhere that you look. But on the inside, in the important place, lives Jehovah Shalom. God, our peace. Is there anything more valuable than peace? And this word is an all-encompassing word. It's the Shalom of the Old Testament is really sozo of the New Testament. It's salvation. It's prosperity. It's protection. It's just every good thing that you can think of is tied up in this word. And Jehovah is that to us. He wants to reveal himself as that to us. Jehovah Shalom. Everybody say Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. It's the almost produces peace just saying the word. But there's gonna come a time when we're gonna need to meditate on it. We're gonna need to think on that. We're gonna need to choose not to think about this, but to think about that. Not to think about the turmoil that's on the outside, but to think about Jehovah Shalom, who lives on the inside. God in us. And then we have New Testament scriptures where Jesus told us, John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Because Jehovah Shalom lives on the inside of us. People are doing everything that they can find to do to try to find this peace. They take drugs. They take medication. They see psychiatrists. World religions of people are hurting themselves and cutting themselves and everything else. Try to find peace. And here's Jehovah Shalom saying he'll give it to us for free. The only cost might be meditation. To think on him, to think on him, to think on him, to think on him, to think on him. Whew, worth doing. Jeremiah. Chapter 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23:5. Why don't you read verse 5 and 6 for us, son?
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's a tongue twister. But the important part is that he is our righteousness. He is our right standing with God. He is our, what's the way that's defined? Life as it should be, and we're becoming as we should be. We have become as we should be when we're meditating on Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. So in the midst of, there's so many ways you can approach this. Let's say you're just having one of those days when it seems like you failed at everything that you've tried. You've given in to things you shouldn't have given in to. But in the midst of all that, we don't have to try to get to be forgiven. We are forgiven. We are qualified for all the promises of God. We are accepted in the Beloved. And we are made righteous with his righteousness, not with our righteousness. It's not about our righteousness. Now, it behooves us to live righteously because that's just a better life. Because sin will kill you even when you're forgiven. Amen. But we can enjoy the righteousness of God in Christ that we've been made. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made us the righteousness of God in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? And he is our Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is our righteousness. When you just don't feel like you can come up to par, he's already brought us up there. when I don't feel like I can meet the mark, he's already met the mark for us. Praise God. You don't think that you measure up. You don't have to measure up. He measured up for us. He is our righteousness. And we think about that. Because, you know, it's easy to meditate on when we missed it. Wish I hadn't missed it. Why did I miss it? Hope I don't miss it again. You know, it's easy to go down that path. I don't know about you, but I have to watch it. I'll play myself little videos in my head. Wrong kind of videos. Where you're thinking about the failures and all those kind of things. But we need to have a meditation. We need to have a default meditation that we go to. Where we think about Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's our righteousness. Praise God. Exodus chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 23 through 26. You want to read those few verses for us, huh?
Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you."
Amen. Now, a couple of things we need to say about verse 26. All the things about diligently and so on, this goes back to Jehovah Tsidkenu, because Jesus met all those requirements. Amen? It's not that you only get to enjoy, this is Jehovah Rapha that we're talking about here, not that you only get to enjoy healing because you've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's and done everything right. Jesus did everything right. And we believe in his righteousness and the righteousness that we have from him, then we can enjoy that. And also, the way that it's worded there sounds like God has been doing this, but God, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a word, they didn't have a tense for allow. So they read it up as causative. But God is allowing in the sense of his hands are off, but he will provide healing for us because he is the Lord who heals us. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, the great physician, according to when you read in Strong's, the great physician who heals our emotional and physical needs, physical ailments, takes care of it for us. We meditate on that. Now, go over a few chapters to chapter 23 in Exodus. In verse 25, and it says,
"So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Praise no one." God, praise That's God, it. Praise God, yeah. He'll take it out of the midst of us. When I'm thinking correctly, when I'm meditating correctly, I don't think about my family and the hereditary line that I come from, but I think about, I'm of a new family, praise God. I'm the family of God. There is no hereditary sensory neuropathy in my family. See, but it's all the way that you're going to think. It's the way that you're going to meditate is going to take you down the right path or the wrong path. And so we've got to, and it's our responsibility to deal with the meditation. If you want to meditate down the wrong path, unfortunately, God has no choice but to let you. The will that he's given us is strong on this earth. We can choose to do right or wrong. Or we can meditate on Jehovah Rapha. Or we can think about, man, this is unfair. I mean, I could think about, I've never gone this way, but I could think about all the family members in my family, natural family, that didn't get the disease. Now, unfair that is. But that's neither here nor there. The thing that I need to meditate on is Jehovah Rapha, new family, no sickness or disease in this. That's what gets that's what'll get me out of this chair. That's what'll raise me up and strengthen me and cause all the parts of the body to work the way that they're supposed to. And that's the way that you'll get healed emotionally too. When you don't seem to be able to get it together any other way, you can think about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Praise God. One more scripture. Psalm 23. Verse 1. Probably can quote it without even looking over there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. My shepherd. Praise God. Now, this is what it says in some of the books that define these words. The Lord our shepherd, a tender, intimate relationship. Shepherd, a tender, intimate relationship. Diane and I were discussing this and thinking there wasn't a lot of revelation of God as love in the Old Testament. I don't know whether God couldn't show it yet or they just didn't see that. Praise God. In the New Testament, I think of the three L's. God is life, God is light, and God is love. Amen? And we know in the New Testament clearly it says God is love. But here is in Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, is a revelation of his tender loving care, of this desire that God has to have a loving relationship with us, to show us his love. And this shepherd that he has made himself available to us in is not about him getting behind and driving us. That's not what shepherds do. Shepherds walk out in front. And they speak, and their sheep know their voice, and they follow that voice. They follow the voice of their shepherd forward. In fact, if I've shared lots of times here, they would say when they get different flocks of sheep together in the overnight and all in a big corral, let's say. I know it's cattle, but it's my word. And then in the morning, when the shepherd wanted to lead his sheep, he would just go in his direction and begin to speak, and his sheep would separate themselves from the other sheep and follow him because they knew his voice. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? We're learning, amen, because we have this Holy Spirit to help us, and he reveals Jesus to us, and this Jesus wants to be our shepherd. He is our shepherd, but he wants to be in manifestation. He wants us to experience him as a shepherd, where we hear his voice and we follow and we're blessed. Jehovah Rohi, a loving, intimate relationship with him. That's what I want. That's what I want to experience. I know it belongs to me, but I want to experience more of that loving, intimate relationship with him. We read about people over the years whose names were in books or they wrote books about this relationship that they had. It's available for all of us. It wasn't just available for a Smith Wigglesworth or a Maria Wordsworth Eddy or some of these people that have gone on before. It's available for us. Praise God.